The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks.
Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day. And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Thursday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined, as always, by my esteemed colleague, the Professor, Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, we're going to take you through Sunday's national anthem with ideas that we hope are not just idle chatter. There's been a tempo tantrum in the Pac-12 that we think opens the doors for something we can exploit in tonight's basketball. And if you're confused by all of those offerings on the Super Bowl for Sunday, don't worry. Today, we're here to prop you up.
Absolutely, Dave. It is Prop Report Day here on Vegas Sports Day. But first, let's start with the first take. Busy night on the hardwoods last night, Dave. What'd you see in the college or pro ranks that you want to share with our viewing audience?
You know, something a little bit shocking. And we were joking yesterday on the show when we said, here's what defenses are doing to Dirk Nowitzki. Saying, Dirk, go ahead and shoot. We're not going to let you penetrate because, you know, he's not been getting to the free throw line. They actually did that last night. Oklahoma City. Now, players and coaches that know Dirk, Greg Popovich earlier this week, Brooks and the Thunder last night, they know how far off he is. Time after time, we saw Dallas run pick and rolls where usually you flock to Dirk. Now, when he gives the ball up, you flock to him. You don't let him pop up for that shot. Pick and rolls were, no, guys were going with the guy with the ball, leaving Dirk open. It's a stunningly bad performance by him. Since he came back from supposedly that rehab session that was getting him back on his game, look at these numbers. 11 for 39 from the field, 0 for 11 from three-point range, only 6 free throw attempts in 3 games. That's that notion of, no, we'll let you shoot. We're not going to let you drive. We're not going to try to go to the basket. Only 7 assists. Playing awfully, awfully bad basketball right now. Dallas has to be off your list until you see something good from Dirk. Feeling better today? The shirt's got to be a sign. You're feeling a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to be sick indefinitely. And I wasn't that sick. I just had, you know, a little bit of a cold that unfortunately caused a few coughing spasms here on air. But we try to keep those few and far between. Looking forward to a cough-free show on Thursday today. The bottom line for me, first take, I want to talk about the dagger. You know, people ask me, what's your favorite play in all of sports? My favorite play is when the team I'm betting on just took a knee in football, and the game's over, and they cover the number. But maybe the most exciting play, the most fun play when you're a sports bettor, not taking a knee, it's when the team you're betting on hits that dagger. And the dagger's not necessarily the shot to win the game or even to cover the point spread. It's the shot that clinches it, the shot that gives you, you know, that, you can take a breath. Russell Westbrook last night for OKC, a classic dagger shot. With the Thunder up 4, shot clock winding down, final minute of play, Westbrook, boom, nails the 3, ball game over. Stu Douglas hit a nice one for the Michigan Wolverines the last night, up 5, about a minute and a half to play maybe against Indiana. Douglas, shot clock winding down, bang, drains the 3, crowd erupts, ball game over. The rest of the game is just whether Michigan's going to be able to hold on and cover that spread. But that's just a fun play to watch, Dave, and something that I thought, you know, stood out to me from last night's basketball. But today is going to be all about Super Bowl props. It's Super Bowl, well, not all about, but largely about Super Bowl props. And in both our postmortem and money time, we're going to be breaking them down, looking for winners. But before we get to those particulars, I want to set up the base rules of the game before you get involved. There's a ton of betting options out there. So not only do we want to get you the best betting options, we also want to prevent you from getting trapped. But first, let's go to the mailbox for something on topic that many of you may want an answer to. This is a letter that came in, or an email that came in from Brett from New Jersey. Brett says, hey guys, Since today is the prop bet show for the Super Bowl, I wanted to ask a related question. I'm a pretty regular sports bettor online every day, but want to expand my online accounts to incorporate more props for the Super Bowl. What reputable website would you recommend that carries a lot of great sports props and is great from a transactional standpoint of getting money in and out without much hassle or betting limitations before you can withdraw? Since I will probably only be using the account at Super Bowl time. Also, with all the governmental crackdown on websites, it's hard to know where to go these days. Also, I realize I should have multiple accounts and shop for lines anyway, so this could be an opportunity to expand. Good question, Brett. Unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for you. The bottom line is, we're sorry, we can't help you or anyone else with this, but under Nevada law, we're not legally allowed to give out this information under the RICO Act. I could be prosecuted as a mobster if I gave this out.
Be prosecuted for that shirt.
Yeah, maybe. Kara told me it looked good. Why do you want me to, you know, Kara, believe me, Kara dresses me every show, so we'll blame her. Because if I can't dress myself.
That is not a RICO shirt.
It is.
That's not. That's anything but.
Quote, conspiracy to promote illegal gambling. Now, that's what it's called. That being said, you can certainly look at the Covers.com website for some sportsbook recommendations. But here on Vegas Sports Day, we just can't do it. So I apologize. Can't answer your question. Obviously, both Dave and I have, in theory, bet offshore at times. And we try to drop a few hints as to some places that we play. But for the purpose of today's show, just can't do it. But this is what we can help you with. No question. Six rules to follow. It's not an insider six-pack. It's six prop betting rules to help you follow as you go through all of the proposition wagers for Sunday's Super Bowl.
Starting point, the most basic one. Read the props carefully. Not only what you're betting on, but the grading rules behind it. This can be a big issue when you have a lot of different things out there. One of the great bad beats of all time happened to be on a prop. We'll go back 10 years ago. We talked about this on the show earlier in the week. It's worth repeating, though. Giants are playing Minnesota, NFC Championship game. Guy believes Minnesota's offense is going to get shut down cold. So he bets Gary Anderson, their kicker, under. Anderson, though, was only the field goal and extra point man. He wasn't the kickoff guy for Minnesota. So what happens? The Vikings get shut out. You can't make a better bet than that. Betting somebody under his team is shut out. But because Anderson's not the kickoff guy, he didn't play in the game. He just gets a refund. The prop was no action, even though the guy was dead on. That's the way the rules were stipulated. Give you a couple examples that we're going to take from the Hilton, why you should read through these carefully. Eli Manning, first rush attempt over under 1.5 yards. Simple enough. Okay, but if no rush attempt, under is the winner. Now we'll take something that sounds similar, but it'll be graded differently. Steve Weatherford, longest gross punt, 52.5 yards. If no punts, all wagers refunded. So if Manning doesn't have a rush attempt, you win the under. If Weatherford doesn't kick the ball over 52.5 yards, you have no action. Read them carefully.
Rule number two, make sure you check the odds on the board before betting. The Hilton prop package, we're going to reference the Hilton a lot because the Hilton is the market leader when it comes to proposition wagers. 27 pages long. Here, take a look at it. Page after page after page after page. And guess what? Just about every number you're going to find on this Hilton prop sheet is obsolete right now. If you try to bet the prop at the number on the sheet, guess what? The number has moved. These are the opening numbers. They don't redo it to show the current numbers on any given day. So many of these props are going to change in terms of the odds. So make sure to check the live odds board to see that the bet you want is still at the value point you're looking for.
Particularly with offshore properties, make sure you know what the grading process for each prop is going to be, because not all of them will have what we would call an official certification. Not a problem here in Nevada. Anything they're going to put on the board has already been run through the gaming control board so that they know there is a regulatory element in play. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about Kelly Clarkson and the national anthem. Interesting prop. Might get a lot of action on it. But what's the official grading? The NFL is not going to say, oh, yes, that was a minute 31 seconds. There's nothing official there. You're having to rely on someone somewhere with a stopwatch. So read through the props carefully to make sure that you know exactly who's going to be doing that grading. If it's vague, you might want to stay away.
Whether in Las Vegas or offshore, find out the grading policy concerning time frames. You would like to be able to cash props as quickly as they come in. If you're going to be doing some in-running wagering, for example, or if you want to make some halftime bets, it'd be nice to be able to have those props that have already won cashed and the money in your pocket so you can bet again. If the place you're playing at will not grade any props until after the game is over, make sure you handle your bankroll accordingly so that you have money available during the game should opportunities emerge. The Hilton this year, for the first time, will actually be doing some in-game proposition grading so you can cash stuff like who won the coin toss, who got the opening kick, all that kind of thing right off the bat and have extra money in your pocket.
Understand line moves because they might not mean what you think they do. Traditional board, team open 6.5, gets bet up to 8, think there's steam, somebody likes them. You're going to see the lines moving on a lot of props, but that doesn't mean it's sharp action or wise guy money that the prop's wrong. It might be that they're out there scalping and middling. You see a running back over 52.5 at one spot, under 56 at another. Someone's going to jump in and they're going to bet that. So if you're only seeing one side of that equation, if you say, wow, my book opened 52.5, now it's 53.5, there's steam there, it may not have been steam. Scalping and middling is a lot of the handle on these props. So if you see a line move, try to look around to see if maybe there's a reason for it. Not just sharp action, but someone looking to scalp it out. That means you might not want to be following.
And finally, the last of the six thought processes here is that you have to process your game opinion first. Think through what you think is going to happen inside the matchup, and then look for the props that fit that flow. You may find a much better comfort zone if you go through this exercise first, rather than looking at the props and then trying to backtrack to see what's going to fit your game opinion. If you have a strong opinion on a game, many times there are isolated props that will offer you a much bigger advantage than the actual game wager itself.
That last piece of advice is going to save you a lot of time so that you're not going through the hundreds that are out there at so many properties. Like Teddy showed you, the 27 pages from the Hilton, that could take you a couple of days to go through. Think about how this game is going to flow first. Then go back and look for what fits there. You can be a lot more comfortable that way. You're going to save a lot of time. And we get to our second money time today. We're going to revisit this with three props from each of us that we think bring you the best value for Sunday.
Please keep those emails coming. We've been getting great questions on a daily basis, and we've been trying to answer as many as we can on air. The email address, of course, sportsday@covers.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @VegasSportsDay, and you can get involved in the community with active threads and discussions going right now. People just like you who love sports and sports betting, covers.com/postingforum. And I've got two more days to say it. Only two more days. Bottom line, Super Bowl party right here in Las Vegas at Caesars tomorrow. The Munch Bar, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Hang out with Dave and I, but you got to send an RSVP email. party@covers.com. I'm telling you, the place is going to be packed. We've had extraordinary response. First 250 people to walk through the door are going to get free drink tickets. Don't be late. Send the email, party@covers.com, if you want to come and join us.
Actually, be the first 248 because we're going to be there first. When we get to money time, Teddy's going to show you how to be in play right from the opening kickoff. But you know what? By the time the game kicks off, there may already be some extra money in your pocket. We're going to talk about that next in the postmortem. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front-row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
Okay, guys, time to scrub up. Going to get deep into the postmortem today to maybe even bring you an edge before the Super Bowl even kicks off.
When we go into the postmortem, it's all about breaking down past performances in sports so that we can make the proper adjustments and use them for our benefit going forward. But it doesn't have to be just sports, particularly not on Super Bowl week. Kelly Clarkson will be singing the national anthem on Sunday, and we can bet it. Anything that carries a line brings an opportunity, naturally, with the old key of what brings the biggest advantage in this arena. They have to set a line. They have to set a line on all kinds of different things, but we don't have to bet it. If we have an advantage, we work it. If we don't, we stand at attention until the anthem is over. We'll take off your hat if we're wearing one. And the issue, of course, is how long we're going to be standing at attention while Kelly Clarkson sings the national anthem. The common line right now, a minute and 34 seconds, 94 seconds total at the books using this prop, and it's our job here in the postmortem to break it down. So how do they arrive at a minute 34? Just like most other events, past performance. Clark has sung the national anthem before NFL games, Major League Baseball games, and NBA games. So the guys setting the numbers run back through those songs to get a better feel. YouTube becomes as valuable of a reference as the gold sheet does in this instance. So let's take a look at her two most recent outings, which carries the most influence in the betting line. We look at the 2010 World Series, San Francisco at Texas. Clarkson goes $1.33. 2010 NBA Finals, Miami at Dallas. Clarkson goes $1.34. Note how consistent they were. Game 3 and Game 4 finished within a single second of each other. Game 3 of the World Series, I should say, and Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Within a single second, very consistent performances. So there are a few other versions of the anthem that you can find on YouTube and at somewhat lesser sporting events, and they ran a bit shorter. So this is an appearance of a fairly sharp line, especially when you note that those two most recent showcases, one setting was an indoor venue, one setting outdoors. No particular adjustment by Clarkson for the different acoustics. But is the line really that sharp? Is there perhaps a window of opportunity here to cash a ticket before the game even starts? Well, that's why we come to postmortem.
Plenty of ways to break something like this down. Teddy touched upon one of them right off the bat that most of you would have thought about. Indoors, outdoors, does it make a difference? You worry about reverberation. Do you allow a note outdoors to carry itself a little bit further? No, those times were pretty even. But you know what? We think this might be a soft line because it's a misleading setup. So let's go to where we think there could be an edge. Kelly Clarkson turns 30 in a couple of months. Just put out a new CD back in October, Stronger, October 24th was the release date, after a delay of almost a year. Big national tour to back that up. Started on January 13th at Foxwoods. Already played Atlantic City, already played Radio City Music Hall. He's playing Jacksonville tonight. Should be in San Antonio the day after the Super Bowl. See, since maybe something a little bit different going on here. When we look at those last two national anthems, there's another common denominator in play. Kelly Clarkson is from Fort Worth. That was the hometown girl singing to the hometown fans for the hometown teams. In those types of settings, you're not going to be a distraction. You're not going to go out of your way to alter the song that much. These are people that know you. You stick to the integrity of the song because you're not the event here. The Mavericks are, and the Rangers are, because if you're from that area, you know what it means to the community. So you get up there, you deliver it, and you move on. But now the time's a little bit different. Small-town country girl, or not necessarily small-town, but the hometown country girl is now growing up. You're getting out on tour now. You've got tickets to sell. You've got music to sell. This time you've got Kelly Clarkson to sell. So let's examine a little bit about the nature of the CD that she put out. Interesting interview with MTV last fall that talks about some of the influences behind this, and they're a little bit different than you might expect. Quoting her directly, this album was influenced by Prince, Tina Turner, Sheryl Crow, Radiohead, and there's a little bit of a country vibe influence on a couple of songs. This is someone positioning themselves for a little different career arc, and you do that at the age she's getting to. So what do we see on Sunday? This could be an entirely different national anthem. She's not going to be out there in that Rangers jersey, you know, singing to some friends and family and people that have been watching her entire career. It's a new audience now. Because this tour is a major North American tour. She's got four dates in Canada. Coming all the way out on the West Coast, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Jose. Even going to be playing here at the Palms in Las Vegas. You've got something to sell this time. This time it's about Kelly Clarkson. So we see a little different motivation for this anthem than for the others. But think about one other fact, too. Those last two anthems that Teddy talked about that they're using to set this line, she's coming out kind of cold. She's not on tour. There's nothing major going on. So you're not really in that mode to stretch something. You know what? She's already been on tour for a couple of weeks. What do you do on tour? You take the songs you just released on that latest CD and you belt them out a little bit longer. What's 3:40 on the record goes a little over 4 minutes live because you're showcasing yourself and your own talents. That means you're in shape to stretch a song out a little bit. What we would call singing shape. If you've been on tour for a couple of weeks, you're ready to belt this out. We think you just might see a different Kelly Clarkson come Sunday than those last couple of national anthems. Different circumstances then. This line may be a little bit soft. No, this isn't play of the day material type of stuff. But yeah, this is something that you can make a small wager on as part of your prop portfolio for Sunday.
Small wager? Perhaps on the over. And I guarantee you, you're not going to find better Kelly Clarkson breakdown than the one you just saw. Well done, Mr. Malinsky. When we come back, let's build that bankroll before Super Bowl Sunday. Money time on the college and NBA hardwoods coming up next.
No pressure. Hi, I'm... Hi, I'm Dennis Silvers from... Can't think of the name of my damn show. Golf and other four-letter words, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network, I think.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Okay, guys. It's money time! This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's start tonight in Madison Square Garden, where the Chicago Bulls, about a 3.5-point road favorite over the New York Knickerbockers and a Knicks team that we broke down pretty heavily in a postmortem last week, talking about some of the issues that Carmelo Anthony had been going through. Well, they bounced back pretty strong with Melo on the floor, coming off his best game in quite some time. What'd he shoot? 9 of 14 for 25 points in about 33 minutes of playing time on Tuesday's route of Detroit. 2 of 3 from three-point range. 6 assists in the ball game as well. Certainly, with Melo back on track, the Knicks are in much better position, and that's why they were able to roll the Pistons on Tuesday night. Obviously, a little bit different class of opponent this time around, but Chicago team, they're not going to be fresh, and frankly, right now, they're not playing very good basketball.
We don't want to do this. We hate to do it. Mike D'Antoni against Tom Thibodeau, Knicks against Bulls, but we're supposed to bet here. We're supposed to be involved because these aren't the Bulls right now. Yeah, there's going to be this notion, let's bet Chicago off a loss. No, 2 games in a row, Kyle Korver has led the Bulls in minutes played. When Kyle Korver is leading this team in minutes played, they're not the Bulls. You think about that defensive intensity, hitting the boards hard, that special chemistry. That's not out there right now. Richard Hamilton, Lou Aldang, those were key cogs that we're finding more and more of. So in this the first 3 games of this road trip, Derrick Rose averaging over 39 minutes per game, having carried too much of the load. Now, it's bothersome if you want the Knicks tonight because you've got awful guards matching up against Rose. You will lose that matchup. But you've got a chance to win just about everywhere else. Who's going to guard Carmelo Anthony? That was going to be Lou Aldang. That was the natural matchup there. They've got a bit of a weak spot. So don't think of these as the Bulls off a loss with a chip on their shoulder. They're not the Bulls right now.
No, I mean, this is their 4th game in 5 nights, all on the road. The Knicks have only played once during that entire span. The New York, definitely the fresher team in this matchup. And, you know, we got to talk about this Korver situation for Chicago. There was some talk that Lou Aldang would be back on the floor tonight for the Bulls. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And if he does, you're going to see this point spread skyrocket in the hours before tip-off. But, you know, here's a quote from Tom Thibodeau about Richard Hamilton, a guy who would be playing in place of Deng at the 3 spot, for Chicago here, who's now, quote-unquote, out indefinitely. Tom Thibodeau, quote, I'm concerned with this thing becoming recurring. I want to make sure that he's completely healthy. With a guy like that, you have to be careful, so that's what we're going to do. In this abbreviated NBA season, we're seeing coaches and players err on the side of caution when it comes to injuries, that does not work in the Bulls' favor this evening as road chalk.
Let's go to the TNT Nightcap, the Staples Center in Los Angeles. The host Clippers, a one-point favorite over Denver. This one has a chance to be a lot of fun, not only because of the quality of the teams, but the style matchup between them. It's second round of a home and away. They played in Denver on Sunday night, 109-105 for the Clippers. Terrific game in which Denver actually had the lead in the final minute. Outstanding game. No Ty Lawson that night for Denver. He's back. We might see the scoreboard light up with two teams that are going to get after each other.
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened in Denver last week was the Nuggets got Chauncey'd. You know, Chauncey Billups, in his return to the Pepsi Center, he lit him up. 32 points, hit 6 three-pointers, a couple of big ones in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul had a big game, 25 points, 7 assists for the team. 20 assists, only 9 turnovers. So a really good offensive flow for this Clipper squad against Denver. Denver may be able to share some of that offensive flow tonight with Ty Lawson back on the floor. But here's a quote from George Karl talking about their defensive struggles, the Nuggets' defensive struggles in that home loss to the Clips. Quote, the shots they made were frustrating because if they took those same shots tomorrow, I don't think they're going to make 14 three-pointers. Usually you don't get beat by the jump shot. There are about 5 of their three-pointers that you can't defend much better than we did. Now, Denver's going to be the fresher team here. Fifth game in 12 days for the Nuggets. Fourth in the last 5 for L.A. That could give them another edge this time around.
Let's go back to that Karl quote because it sets up something I think is important for this matchup, not only for the way they play tonight, but to understand these teams better going forward. Neither of them guard the three-point line very well, and it's not so much intensity. Karl says, oh, we had those guys guarded. They made shots. No, you've got small backcourts for both sides. What happens with small backcourts? You can shoot over the top. Denver's 24th in the NBA in three-point percentage allowed. The Clippers, they're 27th. These are two of the weakest teams at giving them up, going into guys that can knock them down. You already saw the Clippers on Sunday, how well they're capable of shooting. What a little pendulum element, a little bounce-back element. That Denver loss at Memphis 2 nights ago, Danilo Gallinari and Rudy Fernandez, two of their prime shooters, absolutely awful time. They go 0-for-8 from three-point range in that defeat. So you might get the pendulum swinging back to them. But when Karl says, oh, we had these guys guarded well, they made shots anyway. No, when you've got a short backcourt, guys can shoot right over the top. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. I'm not sure if we want to get involved from a side standpoint because it could be just as close as the first meeting. And even though there's a hint of Denver revenge, you know our take on Chris Paul already. Final minute of a close game, we don't want to be betting against the Clippers unless we have a little bit of a cushion. But if you want to have some action, it's easy to see the losing team getting at least 100 points, maybe some of this total in your pocket.
Let's go to Berkeley, California, where tonight we've got a real Pac-10, Pac-12 showdown. The Cal Golden Bears -7.5 at home, total 131 against Arizona. And these two teams, they might have played the best two-game set of any teams in college basketball last year. One meeting, triple overtime, 107-105 Zona with the win, 76 all at the end of regulation in that ballgame. The other one, 73-71. Two-point victories for Arizona, so maybe revenge here for Cal? Maybe not so much.
So we're telling you we've got a showdown in the Pac-12 and that you might want to go watch it. And you're saying, no, wait a minute. This is Pac-12. We don't want any part of it. Well, you've got to separate the top and the bottom of the Pac-12 this year. What really has happened is a perfect storm at the bottom of this conference. Not only do you have a couple of teams that are absolutely terrible, but teams that play slow as well. So from a tempo standpoint, Southern Cal, number 331 in the nation in tempo. Utah, number 326. Arizona State, number 301. Those are hideous. You almost never find two teams from a major conference in the 300s, much less three. So what are they doing? They're dragging some of the other teams down. But if you watched Washington, Arizona last week, you saw good basketball played at a quicker tempo. What did Cal and Arizona do last year? Two good games played at a quick tempo. This one's actually got a little more meat on the bones than you might think from a Pac-12. Let's set it up this way. Fifth go-round between Sean Miller and Mike Montgomery. Regulation from the first four, 152, 144, 166, and 148. Pretty consistent there. It's not even counting all those points that were scored in the triple overtime. pretty consistent, yet this total tonight, it's only 131. There might be something we can do with it if Teddy can live long enough to get us to the play of the day. Can you hang in there?
Yeah, I'm good to go. Play of the day time, absolutely. We have two key defenders missing in this ballgame as well. Richard Solomon, a left cal without much size, without up front. Arizona, not going to have Kevin Parham for the remainder of the season. Two teams that can drain shots from three-point range and two teams likely to play at a quicker tempo tonight. Where does that leave us? That leaves us with the play of the day, Arizona and Cal over the total. That's sitting at 131 right now. Look for the over to come in. Look for a up-tempo affair between the Bears and the Wildcats.
Wasn't prepared for that over. Didn't have the fingers in the air. Didn't think you were healthy enough to deliver it that way. When we come back, props time for Super Bowl Sunday. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Let's go to Indianapolis for Sunday Super Bowl matchup between the Patriots and the Giants. And it's time to break down the props. And Dave, in our discussion before we went on air, it's a difficult thing to do, to have a general discussion about proposition wagers. But we want to focus here on some of the key points to look at. And then at the end, we're going to give some actual specific prop recommendations. But really key to talk about the difference between player props versus team props versus general props. What do we do with these different factions of proposition wagers, and what's your basic angle for looking at props on Sunday?
We still go back to sort of that ground zero element. Get your game focus first. What do you think will happen between the Giants and the Patriots? Get it organized, and then look on the outside for ways to take advantage. When we get to my own props later, we're going to go outside the sport of football for one of the comparisons, because one of the great things about what you'll see on these sheets, and get to the back pages of them, they're Saturday and Sunday, college basketball, pro basketball, and hockey that are tied into the Super Bowl. So make sure you do your handicapping on some of those weekend games as well first. If you've got a good opinion on one of the NBA games on Sunday, let's suppose you think Miami's going to score a lot against Toronto. There are some ways to use that, some LeBron James scoring props tied in. So mostly you want to go with, where can we find edges inside of our own opinions first, instead of taking somebody else's opinion and trying to see if their opinion might be wrong? Play to your strengths.
And there's something to be really to discuss here when it comes to juice issues. In general, you want to look for a plus price on props that are pretty close to 50-50. If you got a coin flip and you're getting plus 110 on that coin flip or better, you'll bet that all year long. You'll bet that forever. Even if it comes up heads 15 times in a row, you're getting plus 110 on tails. The right wager is to be on tails. So you look for those propositions that are basically even, where you're getting a plus price return on the one side. The other issue, and sometimes you want to look the exact opposite way, is that laying juice is oftentimes the right way to go. Many of the better props get bet up right off the bat. The wise guys eat up these proposition wagers. I kid you not. Feeding frenzy at the Hilton when they came out last Thursday night. And that's the way it is year in, year out. If you talk to sharp bettors around Las Vegas, say, how much do you have on the side and total in this game versus how much they have on the props? I guarantee you that just about every sharp bettor in town has more money wagered on the props than they do on side or total of this ballgame. Obviously not as easy to get down massive wagers on props. So the guys that are betting 50 and 100 and more than that dimes per game, they might have more on the game than they do the props. But your average hardworking Joe Sharp, he's locked and loaded with a ton on these props. And not afraid to lay the juice when the situation warrants. Even if it's minus 250, minus $3, minus $5, look at some of the, you know, the will there be a safety? You know, there are sharps out there for sure laying 1,000, 10 to 1, that there's not going to be a safety in this ballgame. That's just what they do.
One of the things we do, of course, is we'll watch those line movements over the weekend. It's going to be a little bit harder for you. If you're in Las Vegas and you're tied to one particular property, you're not going to be able to run around too much to take advantage of movement. But there's a good and a bad of these props. The bad, we'd say, is, gee, they only take a nickel. The good is that nickel forces line movement. So a lot of times, something that opens at Pick'em, now you're going to look up and it's minus 140, take back plus 120. Well, I take maybe two nickel bets on it. But that's enough to force them to make that move. So if you have access, you know, to a book that's on the screen and you can see that movement, boy, there's going to be an awful lot generated. But here's what you really need to do, though. We're going to give you some specific props you should be tracking on that screen or at wherever you're going to be. We tried to focus on things that are commonly available, that you can find just about anywhere. My own are going to come straight from the board at the Hilton. So if you're coming to town, the Hilton's just right around the corner. Should be able to find these just about anywhere. Teddy, your big three for Super Sunday.
I'm going first. I still got more to talk about props over here.
You can do all you want.
Just one more general point here is that here in Las Vegas, you can predict where the money is going to go. When people come into town over the course of the weekend, they like to bet overs. They want this guy to get catches and that guy to get rushing yards and the other guy to get receptions and the other guy to get pass attempts. They're looking, in general, you'll see some upward pressure on these overs across the board when it comes to player propositions. They don't want to be rooting for someone. They don't want to be rooting against them. So what you'll see is a gradual movement up, and you can find, if you're going and, you know, looking for opportunities to scalp or buy back the other way, you can find some even middling opportunities if you're willing to wait in line on Sunday morning or even into the afternoon. On the other end of the spectrum, bettors are also looking for those long shot props. They like to risk a little to win a lot. So you oftentimes see some of the long shots get severely undervalued, although there's one in my prop three-pack that I think, at the current number, is still very worthy of a wager at a nice long shot price. Should we go there? You got more to say?
No, let's do it.
All right. Three props. First, the first prop. Will the opening kickoff be a touchback? Minus 175, I say yes. The opening kickoff will be a touchback. There are two factors in play for this particular wager. Number one, who wins the coin toss doesn't matter. But the Patriots have a propensity to defer to the second half when they win the coin toss, and the Giants have a propensity to accept the opening kick when they win the toss. So whoever wins the toss, in theory, New England should be kicking off here. And that's very much reflected in the who's going to kick off first and all of that type of stuff. But when it comes to the opening kickoff being a touchback, it makes a big difference. Gostkowski has a bigger leg than Tynes. His touchback percentage much higher than Tynes. Opening kickoff of the Super Bowl, you know the adrenaline is going to be flowing, and you would expect a solid kickoff deep into the end zone. It's also worth noting the Giants' return game is weak, and the Giants tend to be willing to take the ball at the 20 more than New England does, who likes to run it out a little bit more. All those factors come into play. The final factor, of course, is the venue. Playing indoors at Lucas Oil Stadium, we're talking about a venue that has seen 76% of kickoffs be touchbacks for the full season. All kickers, all teams. It's a very kicker-friendly venue. I think the price here is very reasonable on the first kickoff to be a touchback. The second two props, or prop number two and number three, are both related to a concept as to how I handicap the game. I thought this is a very, very difficult game to handicap. From a side perspective, I kind of gave a push on the show when we asked for final scores earlier in the week in our Super Bowl preview show on Tuesday. I said final is 30-27, right on the number, which tells you, obviously, that I think it's going to be a competitive game. So what can we do with that handicap? Real simple. We look for props that'll fit into play. Game will be tied after 0-0, plus 110. You can get plus money on that prop right now. Now, it's worth noting that that's after an extra point. So let's say the Patriots kick two field goals, are up 6-0. The Giants tie at 6-6 and then kick the extra point to go up 7-6. Well, that doesn't count as being tied for the seconds while it's 6-6. It has to be after a touchdown and the extra point or a field goal. But if you expect a competitive game and you think it's going to be tight throughout, This is the type of wager that makes sense, particularly at a plus price. The final one, it's a long shot prop. Will there be an overtime? There's been 45 previous Super Bowls. 45 times this bet has not cashed. There have been a couple of real close calls in recent years, a bunch of them. You know, when you think about the 1 yard that Kevin Dyson didn't get in the Tennessee-St. Louis Super Bowl. You think about the game-winning touchdown catch from Big Ben to Santonio Holmes. Doesn't catch the ball on that play. Field goal. Game goes into OT. You look at every previous Patriots Super Bowl decided by 3 points. There's been four of them in the last decade, all been decided by a field goal. Several of those had real opportunities to go into OT. There's already been two overtimes in the 10 playoff games that we've seen so far this year. The books are pricing this like it's a real long shot. I don't think it is. And at plus 850, you're going to have to shop around to find that number. But it is available right now in certain locations. To me, that's the type of prop wager that can make your day if we get some extra football after the 60 minutes are done on Sunday.
We've got a few that we're going to start with that have to do with what are usually generic lines. The first pass complete tends to be a big favorite. Incomplete comes in around that $1.70, $1.80 range. So they put Eli Manning out there in that generic. We would not be surprised to see Manning throw deep early. The best matchup the Giants have, big, strong, physical wideouts into a pretty weak New England secondary. No surprise at all if Manning, out of play action, goes deep down the field early with that first attempt, which increases the chance of it being incomplete. Of course, interception counts as an incompletion. Buck 75, yeah, Eli's not going to dink and dunk his first pass. I think they might come out and attack. Second one's another case where we have a pretty generic line that doesn't fit these particular teams. We're going to lay $1.75 that there won't be a special teams or defensive touchdowns. One is there aren't going to be a lot of punts in this game. Two, a lot of these kickoffs will be touchbacks, so the special teams get greatly reduced. But you know what? These are fundamentally sound offenses. They don't give the ball away a lot. These are quarterbacks who aren't likely to throw the pick sixes. These two teams combined gave up 4 return touchdowns all year. That's 4 out of 32 combined games. We don't mind laying that $1.75 there. Now let's move outside of football just a little bit. When Darren Williams signed with the New Jersey Nets, he wasn't signing to play in the swamps of Jersey. He was coming to New York. That means playing the Knicks is a big part of what he was going to do. That's who they're playing on Saturday night in Madison Square Garden. He's played 1 game against the Knicks in the Garden since joining New Jersey, total of 30 points plus assists. But that was last year when the Knicks were a better team defensively than they are right now. As we noted in Money Time earlier, one of the difficulties in betting the Knicks tonight, they got no one to guard Derrick Rose. They don't guard opposing number ones very well. Look for Darren Williams to put on a nice show in Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. Maybe get that prop into the 30s. Hardest thing to do against a New England defense, run straight up the gut. You can get to the corners on them. You can throw the ball on them. But Brandon Jacobs running into the arms of Vince Wilfork, no, you're not going to get a lot out of Jacobs here. I don't think we get a lot of carries. I think Ahmad Bradshaw is actually the more effective option. So we'll take Darren Williams plus the 2.5. You'll be laying $1.10 on that prop. Williams plus the 2.5 over Jacobs. Excellent value.
And that's going to wrap it up for the Thursday edition. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl prop analysis that Dave and I were able to deliver today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. From Berlinski, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games and good luck. We'll be back again for the weekend preview. Umaga.